Message, and I appreciate Brother Scott Moneyham, pastors of Holly Springs Baptist Church in Rutherford, North Carolina. I love this man, and I appreciate him. Appreciate the heart he has for camp meeting. And they have camp meeting in Hendersonville, and that's where this camp meeting was birthed out of. And I brought a pew. They changed their pews. I brought this white pew down here. A lot of people don't know why I did, but it's there to ask questions. I just want you to know where we come from. See, I know where I come from. And you need to know where you come from. And I appreciate God placing this place here, because that place was where it was at. And you don't just have a meeting just because you decide you want to have one. You have one because it gets birthed in your heart. Amen. I love you, Brother Scott. Preach to us this morning. Amen.
You can be finding the place with me over in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel. I do have a goodly heritage. I didn't know all that I had when I got in, but I'm grateful that the Lord revealed it unto me. I would be remiss if I did not thank the Lord for the privilege to stand again in this place. I got my calculator out and did the calculating this morning, and this is the 30th year I have been on these grounds. I have a goodly heritage. Good to be in the shavings. Appreciate the moderator and his moderating. I remind you, the Lord said, I am meek and lowly in heart. If you're going to moderate, if you're going to preach like him, you must be meek and lowly in heart. Appreciate the faithful handling of the text, Brother Merritt. Amen. So you like that verse by verse, stand in the text, preacher? Well, that's how the book's been given to us. I'm sort of partial to that. The Word of God reads in John 11, a familiar passage. I know I prayed the Holy Ghost would breathe upon it with freshness today. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Then go all the way down with me to verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Then go down with me to verse 34. And he said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then let your eyes go down even further to verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come unto the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. It is John's custom, for the most part, not to give us time stamps, not to give us the designation of days. For the most part, John says things like this, that After this, he went down into Capernaum. After these things, that's John's normal way of writing. But however, on a few occasions in this gospel, John does put a time stamp down. John does designate and wants us to see the day of that occurrence and that which he is speaking of. For instance, in the opening days of our Lord's ministry, John notes, it says there, that on this day Jesus comes unto John, and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And the day following, John says, again the Lord comes, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John notes for us the opening days of our Lord's ministry. Oh my, then John notes for us the closing days of our Lord's ministry. In just the very next chapter, in chapter 12 here of John, he says in verse 1, "Then 6 days," John time stamps it, "then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which was dead, whom he had raised from the dead." John again puts a time stamp on the beginning of the last days, the closing days of our Lord. And he ties it, by the way, to the Passover, which is so fitting because he is that Passover lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Then on several occasions, John time stamps for us the sacred ministry, the sacred days of our Lord. Because you remember on several occasions, "And it was the Sabbath day that the Lord made clay and spittle and opened the eyes of the blinded man." He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he can do for you on any day of the week that which needs to be done. But John notes the sacred days of our Lord's ministry. John notes in John 20, the new days of our Lord's ministry, the resurrection days of our Lord's ministry. For there we read, "And the first day of the week," John time stamps it, "the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone which was taken away." And one more time in John 20, John puts a time stamp down in these resurrection days of our Lord. A week later, our Lord showed up again and said, "Peace be unto thee." But there's one other time stamp that I'm interested in this morning. It's in this 11th chapter of John that we've read from this morning, where John puts a time stamp down, and it marks the fourth day ministry of our Lord. That's what I want to deal with this morning for just a brief moment. The fourth day ministry of our Lord, twice the Holy Ghost has John put down a time stamp and note for us that that which is taking place here in John 11 is on a fourth day. It's a day for day. There it is in verse 17. There, when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. He's on that fourth day. Down there again in verse 39, and Martha says, "Now, Lord, don't take away the stone. He's already been dead 4 days." It's the fourth day. This is the fourth day ministry of our Lord. Oh, my. And I'd say to you this morning, if you ever wake up and find yourself having a day for day, it's because of God's design. It's because God has planned it out for you. Because we read a moment ago in the text that when the messenger comes to Jesus and tells Jesus that Lazarus is sick, Jesus abode 2 more days before he ever headed out towards Bethany. Oh my, a day, 4 days just don't happen by accident. They happen by the sovereign plan and design of God. But to get a hold of the thought this morning, I need to remind you of what I want to call the past context. The past context of this ministry in this day. You see, we've read here from John 11, that which has transpired. And do you notice in the text, Martha and Mary are no longer out at the grave. Martha and Mary are no longer out at the tomb. They've all left the cemetery. They've all gone back to the house. They've all gone back to try to get back to life as normal there. Why? It's day four. It's day four. Hope is gone. Oh my. But they believed. To get a hold of it, they believed in that day. The cultural thinking, the traditional thinking, I didn't say biblical thinking, but the cultural thinking, the common thinking of that day was that the soul would hover over the body there for 3 days. But then on that fourth day, the soul would catch out. In fact, one rabbi said this, that the soul hovered over the body, hoping to re-enter maybe, but as soon as a change comes, it departs, oh my. So here's the thought this morning, in their traditional way of thinking, in Martha's way of thinking, in Mary's way of thinking, it's the fourth day. We might as well go back to the house. It's all over. This is it. It's going to be this way for the rest of the days. In fact, even the religious leaders thought that way. Because you remember, they go to Pilate and they say, tell you what we need you to do. We need you to seal, we need you to secure the tomb of that deceiver for 3 days. For 3 days you secure there the grave, the tomb of that deceiver. That's all you need to do for 3 days. Because on the fourth day, everybody will know all hope is gone. That's the past context of this day. And here in John 11, day four has arrived. Here in John 11, a day of hopelessness has arrived in the hearts and the lives of Martha and Mary, oh my. And that stone that rolled on the mouth of that tomb, oh my. Now said in loud letters, oh my. Oh my, it's all over. He has failed. He has not been faithful, oh my. And you know, I think really day four was probably harder than that very day, than that very moment Lazarus took his last breath and died. Because remember, the messenger surely comes back and the messenger tells them, well, Jesus said this sickness was not unto death. So Mary and Martha grab hold of that. But Lazarus up and dies. Lazarus up and dies. But surely Jesus will be there soon. Surely Jesus will get there before they ever get out of the cemetery. But now it's day four. And Jesus has not yet arrived down the road. Oh my, it's a day four day. I mean, I'll tell you, it was saying to Martha and Mary, he's failed you now. He's always kept his word up to now. Up to now. Oh my, oh my. And see, they thought, well, maybe if Jesus will just get here, he can turn this thing around. And sometimes day four's come, and we think surely the Lord will turn it all around in our life today. But day four comes and day four goes. Oh my. I'm talking about the past context of this day. All hope is gone in Martha's heart. All hope is gone in Mary's heart. So are you sure that preacher? Well, yeah, I am. Because you notice when Jesus does get there on day four, you notice all they can say is, if only. If only you'd been here. If only you'd been. They don't say, now that you're here. Now that you're here, let's go out to the cemetery. Now that you're here, would you raise him up? Oh, if only you had been here. Oh my, day four was too late in their mind. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you and I are not careful, we'll get day four mentality in our mind, and we'll get to thinking it's too late. This is how it surely must be the rest of our days. They were having a day four day.
Of course, they're not the first person to have a day four day. I want to tell you, Abraham had a lot of day four days. In fact, Abraham had weeks and months and years. A day four days looking for a son. God had promised a son. Oh my. But day four days seemed to become the routine for Abraham. Why, how about Job? Why, my Lord, it's like he's stuck in day four days. Or how about Paul? Even Paul had day four days, despairing even of life. I remind you over there in Acts chapter 27 that it's on the fourth day of the storm, that the ship breaks up and they got to hang on to boards. They got to hang on anything that'll float and make it. It was a day for day. Oh my, the day for days are days of hopelessness. Oh my, so often in the lives of men and women, boys and girls. That's the past context of the day of the ministry. I'm not going to preach it, but there is a future context of this ministry. And of this day, in Revelation chapter 6, I want to tell you, those martyrs are going to have day four days like this world has never, ever, ever, ever seen. And they will cry, how long, how long, how long? Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'm glad the church will be gone. Amen. But you see, there's not just a past context for this day. There's not just a future context for this day. There's the present context of this day. There's the present context of a day four. I'll tell you, day four sounds like this. How long is this COVID going to last? How long is this COVID going to hang out? We've got a lady that's had a severe stroke. She's been in the hospital for over a week. She can't speak. She can barely move. They're going to move her this afternoon in the rest home. And they're still going to quarantine her for 14 days. Oh, my. I want to tell you, there's a day four that you and I are encountering in this day and in this hour. Why, some of you are wondering, is that crowd that hadn't come back yet, are they ever going to come back? Maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, is God ever going to save my husband? Is God ever going to save my boy? I've prayed and I've wept and I've cried, oh my, and it looks like they're further away than it's ever been before. And the devil will slip up and say, this is how it's always going to be from here on out. You might as well as give up. And oh my, if you're not careful, you and I'll get in that day four mentality and we'll think, well, this must be how it's going to be. Or we'll get to saying, if only God had not let it happen, if only God had intervened, if only God had done something. Oh my, there's a present context of day four. But here's the message this morning. There is a powerful cure for day four day. Here's the heart of the day four ministry of our Lord. Here's the powerful cure for a day four day. Don't miss it. It's remember day three. That's it. Remember day three on a day four day. Say, preacher, you sure? Day three was standing right in front of them. I know it was day four. I know Lazarus was dead. I know Lazarus was stinking. I know everybody said it was over. But day three had walked into their day four. Day three always shows up on time. Oh, man. Now, here's the thing you need to get this morning. Don't let this slip by you. Day three always comes before day four. You can't have a day four unless it's first of day three. And I want to tell you, on day three, he always makes some provisions. On day three, he always makes some promises. On day three, he always makes available what you and I need to get through every day for that dawns on our hearts and dawns on our lives. I want to tell you, day three will take the ifs out of day four. Day three will take the uncertainty and the if-onlys out of day four. Oh my, because day three is a day of hope. Day three is a day of power. Day three is a day of promise. Oh, Abraham had all those day fours. It looked like those day fours weren't ever going to come to an end. But oh my, God set him out on a journey. And it says on the third day, on the third day, he saw that place from afar. On the third day, God had a provision. On the third day, God had a promise. Oh my, on the third day, it's not if God will provide a sacrifice. On the third day, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, day three will get you through day four. I want to tell you, one of the first camp meetings, our camp meeting Brother Steve mentioned, he's 70 years old. Thank God for it. 58 years. But I want to tell you, one of the first camp meetings was over at Mount Sinai. The Mount Sinai camp meeting. And they've been hanging around. But on the third day, Exodus 19, on the third day, the lightning went to flashing and the thunder went to rolling, and God himself spoke from the mountain. God himself declared the word. God himself said everything they need to get through every day four they'd have thereafter. I'll tell you, that crowd had a lot of day fours. But what they got on the third day at the mountain, what you get at camp meeting can get you through some days fours if you'll just be here. Of course, if you're not at camp meeting on day three, you miss out what you'll need on day four. On day four. Oh, my. Did you catch it a while ago when Brother Merritt read Esther 5? Did you catch how that chapter begins? On the third day. On the third day, they'd been having a lot of day fours, I know, but on the third day, I'll tell you, day one, day two, she's a primping, she's putting on perfume, but on the third day, the golden scepter is extended unto her. On the third day, she's going to have her need met. On the third day, she's going to get a word from God. Day three will get you through day four. Saul's raising hell. Saul's trying to destroy the man of God. The man of God's had to flee. He's not been able to take any bread. They've not even been able to gather up their weapons. There they are, seemingly vulnerable, and they're hungry. But on the third day, they make their way to the house of God, and the priest offers them some hallowed bread, some holy bread. Oh my, God provides on the third day what you need for the fourth day. In fact, I remind you, David just didn't get hallowed bread. He got the sword of Goliath. He got the sword of Goliath. Him and the smart. Here's the message. Here's the powerful cure for a day four day. Just remember day three. Just remember day three. I mentioned a minute ago, Paul, on that fourth day, they are hanging on. Oh my, everything's busted up. Everything's broken up. Well, see, just because you have a day three doesn't mean stuff will not fly apart on day four. But if you ever get a hold of day three, you'll not fly apart on day four. Oh yeah, the ship broke up. Yeah, but on the third day, the angel showed up. Be of good cheer. There'll be no loss of life. Save the ship. I'm going to tell you, on day three, You get what you need for day for day. And that's how it is right here in John 11. Before they go out to the tomb, before they go out to the cemetery, Jesus reminds them of day three. Here it is. Thy brother, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. But see, when you're in the middle of a day four, your days sometimes get mixed up. I'll tell you, the storm can get so rough and the night can get so long that you lose your track of days and nights. Martha said, oh yeah, I know, Lord. I know, Lord, in the latter day. I know in the last day, in the latter day. Oh my, her days were mixed up. Day three was standing right in front of her. Day three was standing right in front of her. And before they go to the tomb, he's reminding her of day three. Oh my, in essence, he's saying, Martha, Martha, honey, I am day three. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Now, this is not the first time the Lord's brought up day three. He's been dropping it off all along. But they surely were Baptists, because they evidently just were not listening. They just were not listening. Now, we don't see it quite as clear in John's gospel because, as I said, he don't put all them time stamps down. But Matthew does that a lot. And over yonder in Matthew, over there in Matthew 12, oh my, the Lord rose up on that certain day and spoke of how Jonah for 3 days and three nights lay in the bed of the whale, oh my, and that the Son of Man for 3 days and three. The Lord's preparing them for day four before day four ever arrives. Over in Matthew chapter 16. God himself, the Holy Ghost himself, puts down a big time stamp. From that time forth, begin Jesus to show his disciples how he must go in Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and all my and the scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. And we know that's right before the Mount of Transfiguration. We know that's before the last days of our Lord, which don't even begin until John 12. So before day four ever got there, he's been telling them about day three. Oh my, before the Mount of Transfiguration, before that last Passover, he's been telling them about day three. But we don't have to go to Matthew's gospel to see it. Here, even in John's gospel, in John 2, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And on the third day, when everything had run out, on the third day when there was no wine, on the third day when there was no joy, on the third day when there was no hope, hallelujah, the Lord turned water to wine and provided all that they needed. But in that context, our Lord says this: destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it. Oh my, oh my. Had they only remembered day three, day four would not have been as dark. Day four would not have been as difficult if they had only remembered day three. Now, I'm not throwing stones. Martha stuck in day four. Because when the Lord says, roll away the stone, she said, no, Lord. It's day four. He stinketh. Life stinks when you forget day three. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. You forget day three, everything's going to go to stinking. She said, he stinketh now, Lord. He stinketh now, Lord. Oh, my. He turns to Martha and listen to what he says. He said, said not I unto thee. He said, Martha, I told you. I told you could have put a money in hand. Martha, I told you, honey, I am day three. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, you know what that means? That means he controls life and he controls death. Job said that death is the king of terrors. But I got news for you. Christ is King of Kings and King of Triumph. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the eternal day. He has the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And by the way, they've not ever been anywhere but in his possession.
Amen.
The devil's never had the keys. They never was a wrestling match, as if though this thing were up in there. No, the days have been determined. The days have been ordained. And oh my, he is day three. He is the resurrection and the life. They go out yonder that tomb. Don't you know? Don't you know? Corruption and death were feeling pretty good. Because it's day four. Oh my, they walk out there. And the stench of death is mighty strong. But I want to tell you, the sweet rose of Sharon, I came walking up. And the lily of the valley came walking up. Oh my, yeah, I know it was day four, but day three shows up. And when day three says, come forth, Lazarus, come forth, corruption has to back off. Oh my, death has to get out of the way. And you know, Just a little over a week later, death and corruption have another shot. Except this time, they're not dealing with Lazarus. This time, they're dealing with him. This time, they're dealing with the resurrection and the life. Oh my, and everything corruption tried to throw fell right off. And oh my, on day two, death had always felt proud. On day two, death had always felt bold. But day three, oh my, death became weak and death had to let go of its hold. Oh my, for he is day three. He is the resurrection and the life. Simple message this morning. On a day four day. Remember day three. Let's see, preacher.